Coming up on this episode of Home Theater News Review, Klipsch launches its latest audio solution. We have all the details and up-to-date pricing. Kaleidoscape opens the door to commercial cinema. LG releases a security patch for TVs found to be vulnerable to hacking. We have a bit more unsettling news out of Roku, and Cambridge Audio spruces up an old favorite. Also, we get out the time machine and sputter into the past, where we find out 8 is actually more than enough. We dig through movie reviews, data, and slick deals on a trio of Tom Cruise films. Those are all on 4K disc. All that and more coming up. Hey there, home theater friends, and happy Monday. Welcome to this week's edition of HTNR. My name is Todd Anderson with the Home Theater Forum at avnirvana.com. You can watch this podcast on our YouTube channel or listen to it on Spotify and iTunes. If you've been enjoying this show, make sure you subscribe on your preferred platform and leave us a review. And if you're looking for a friendly home theater forum, come hang out with us at avnirvana.com. Today is April 16th, 2024. Hope you had a great weekend. I had a fantastic weekend. We caught a ball game on Friday. We went and saw author and humorist David Sedaris live on Saturday. I highly recommend checking him out if he's coming into a city near you. And then I got to spend some time out on the Chesapeake on Sunday. Many thanks to my great friend, Jeff, for that. But folks, now it is time to wade right back into the warm and friendly waters of AV technology. And I actually think this should be a really fun week. I have a review dropping hopefully tomorrow, maybe on Wednesday, of a 4K HDMI wireless extender that, get this, actually works. We reviewed 2 or 3 units similar to this over the last year or so, but this one is different because it actually works. So there's a lot to break down on that one, and that's going to be released as part of our HDMI test bench review series, so stay tuned for that. All right, you heard the sound. That's us getting shotgunned back in time to take a look at this day in the history of film, TV, tech, you know, basically whatever I can dig up and share. And as it turns out, today is kind of a dull day in terms of that kind of history. Let me take a look at my notes here. We've got Tokyo Disneyland opened on this day back in 1983. And incidentally, I didn't know this, but Tokyo Disney isn't owned by Disney at all. The properties are merely licensed, which I find totally fascinating. Fox's In Living Color, which was a comedy skit over here on Fox TV that premiered in 1990. Do you remember a sitcom called 8 is Enough? You'd have to be in your kind of 50s probably to remember this. I think it ran mid-70s, maybe late 1970s, into the very beginning of the 1980s. There was a little boy in that family with a bowl cut. Unmistakable. His name was Nicholas, a really cute little kid. His real life name was Adam Rich. Anyhow, apparently he was arrested on this day back in 1991 for burglary, which I find shocking just remembering him just as Nicholas on that sitcom. But unfortunately, I did a little digging around and it sounds like Adam Rich had struggled with drug addiction and some other issues with the law and recently passed away within the last year or so. And for you Trekkies out there, William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, and DeForest Kelly were all inducted into the National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame back in 1992. Of course, that was on April 15th. But today, in my mind, is really best known for 2 major historical events. We have in 1912, the Titanic sank. What a terrible tragedy. And in 1947, the late, great Jackie Robinson broke the Major League Baseball color barrier. He started at first base for the then Brooklyn Dodgers on opening day. And here's just a little bit of baseball trivia for you. The name Dodgers, that actually comes from folks in that part of New York City, of course, that's Brooklyn, that were really good at evading the city's trolley streetcars. That name actually began as the Trolley Dodgers. It was later just chopped down to Dodgers. And of course, that franchise eventually moved out to Los Angeles. I think that happened in the late 1950s, early 1960s, because they've been out in Los Angeles for about 60, 65 years or so. All right, back to 2024, the here and now. And this past week, it's also just a little bit on the light side when it came to news, but we still have some fun stuff to talk about. Now, you might remember back in January around CES time, we were talking about a new pair of soundbars being launched by Klipsch and Onkyo, manufactured under the Klipsch name and carried a powered by Onkyo stamp. They're called the Flexus Core 100 and 200. Well, they are now officially shipping. I think that was as of last Monday. The Core 200 is 44 inches wide. It carries five channels made up of an array of forward firing and up firing drivers, along with built-in woofers. It also has a horn-loaded tweeter for center channel duties. Now, the Core 100 is about half as wide. We're talking in the 28-inch range, and it offers a stereo array of forward firing drivers along with 4-inch low-end woofers. Both models have HDMI for access to EARC, where that's enhanced audio return channel, and 8K video. And just for those of you listening that don't know what EARC is, basically that means that you can plug an HDMI cable into your TV, plug it into the back of the soundbar, and the TV will send out Dolby Atmos audio from the TV to the soundbar, and that comes in handy when you have your streaming apps right on your TV. So you can stream to your TV and still dump that sound out to your soundbar. Of course, this means that these soundbars have Dolby Atmos decoding on board. They also carry Bluetooth along with optical and USB-C connections. Now, you can add on wireless surround speakers. They're called the Surround 100 to both of these soundbars, in addition to a sealed 10-inch wireless sub. It's called the Sub 100. It's sized to fit in tight spaces, and something that I think is probably the most appealing thing about these two soundbars, you can actually add two subwoofers to one soundbar, allowing you to inject a lot more bass into a space. So if you have a really large room, or if you just want to even out the bass response in your room, you can buy two of these wireless subs and hook them into your system. In terms of pricing, the Flexus Core 100, that is carrying an MSRP of $349. Flexus Core 200 is at $499. The Flexus Surround model, that's S-U-R-R 100, that is at $249. And the Flexus Sub 100, that is at $299. Those are all on sale right now at Amazon. I'll drop links to those products if you'd like to go check them out. Last week was CinemaCon, which is the official convention of the National Association of Theater Owners, or NATO, not to be confused with the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Our good friends at Kaleidoscape arrived at that convention with some very interesting news. Now, this news was first broken by Variety the week before, so that was basically 2 weeks ago, but the official press release didn't drop until last Monday, and I just want to tip my cap to my good friend Josh Gershman over at Kaleidoscape. He pulled all the right strings on launching this news and getting some buzz going by hitting up Variety, which is big time for the commercial cinema and basically Hollywood in general. And then bringing that news over to the rest of us here in the world of home theater to kind of still keep that word kicking out. Really interesting rollout by them. But basically what's happening is that Kaleidoscape is going to dip its toes into the world of commercial cinema. Now, first and foremost, what is Kaleidoscape? Now, this is a name that sounds familiar, but you're not really sure what it is. It's basically a high-end movie delivery system that allows you to purchase 4K films, 1080p films, which is Blu-ray quality, and standard definition films. We're talking DVD quality. It allows you to buy them and download them onto a Kaleidoscape server that is in your house. Now, what's different than this than purchasing movies when streaming is, number one, quality, but number two, you actually own the movie. Kaleidoscape is not simply authorizing you use through a license. You are purchasing, you own the movie, you have it physically on your server. Now, that server is connected to a Kaleidoscape player in your home, which decodes and plays the movie in concert with your processor or your TV or whatever you have that player hooked up to. Now, there's lots and ins and outs to the system, and there's lots of benefits. So if you want to learn more, I'll drop links to a review that I published a few years ago, along with some links to videos that Travis Ballstadt has created. But the gist is you're able to buy and download disc quality, and in some cases better than disc quality films, and watch them in your own home. It's expensive, but it's really just a fantastic interface and product all the way around. Anyhow, Kaleidoscape is currently working with 8 different exhibitors in a pilot program that brings the Kaleidoscape platform into their establishments. At the same time, it has an agreement with one major Hollywood studio and is in active discussions with several others that will allow these theaters to access and play catalog titles on the big screen, allowing them to create, you know, special events, special screenings, movie marathons, all delivered through secure and instant on-demand access to library content. And by instant, we're talking about downloads that can take as little as 10 to 20 minutes, depending on the kind of equipment you've purchased through Kaleidoscape and on the internet connection speeds that you have at your establishment. There's a movie house here in my neighborhood. It's called Sinopolis, and they've been playing 80s classics once a week for a little while now. About a month or so ago, we went and saw The Breakfast Club there, and the theater was pretty much packed. So from my perspective, I think there's definitely a demand for older catalog movies on the big screen, and Kaleidoscape gives a theater a lot of flexibility to make pretty much instantaneous decisions on what kind of content they want to download and then show. So this is a very exciting budding partnership for Kaleidoscape and the commercial cinema industry, and we're going to keep our eye on this and see how it progresses. If you missed our news headline about LG last week, it's worth noting that Bitdefender, that's a security firm that audits Internet of Things hardware, reported software vulnerabilities to LG, about tens of thousands of its smart TVs. That report was filed last November, and a patch was just recently released. We have affected model and operating system versions detailed in an article that's on our homepage. So if you're an LG owner, go check it out. And best practice is to make sure your TV's firmware is up to date no matter what model you own. Speaking of hackers, Roku says that nearly 576,000 of its 81 million, that's numbers so huge, 81 million user accounts have been compromised. Apparently, rogue purchases have been made using credit card numbers of about 400 hacked users. Roku says they'll make those users whole and are taking steps to make things more secure. And last but not least on the news front, Cambridge Audio says an updated version of its CXA81 integrated amplifier launching in May. The new CXA81 Mark II, that's MK2, will feature a new reference level 32-bit ESS DAC and improved circuitry in its Class AB stereo amp that's rated to deliver 80 watts per channel. Connection-wise, it offers aptX HD Bluetooth for streaming 42-bit 48 kilohertz audio and has a variety of digital, balanced, and unbalanced inputs. It also has preamp and subwoofer outputs, a mini jack headphone output, and 2 sets of speaker outputs. This new Mark II version will cost about $200 more than the older CXA81, landing at $1,199. Mm. On to disc reviews, let's take a peek into the world of AV Nirvana disc reviewer Michael Scott. Last week, he reviewed the 4K release of The Ring Collection. That's a trio of horror films, most notably known for the original movie The Ring, which I think was released in maybe 2003, 2004, somewhere in there. Speaking of horror, he also reviewed a horror film featuring a beloved children's IP in the form of Winnie the Pooh. That's right, Winnie the Pooh, slasher. And I'll just say this, if you want proof that Mike isn't a film house shill, this is a review that you need to read. Not to mention, aren't you curious if Winnie the Pooh makes for a compelling horror character? I certainly think you should be. So definitely go over and check out what Mike had to say. And the third film of the week that he reviewed is a Japanese art house drama film called Monster. That's on Blu-ray. And he gives this one high marks. So definitely give it a read if you're looking for something different. All right, and let's turn the page and look at disc sales and data. And unfortunately, my source for disc sales, the Digital Entertainment Group and Media Play News, haven't updated their disc sales this week. They normally do it either Sunday night or early Monday morning, but it hasn't happened. I believe they both work in coordination with the market analysis folks at Circana to source that data. But look, somebody's asleep at the wheel on this lovely Monday, which makes me look like I'm asleep at the wheel. So I guess we're just going to have to wait until next week for a new update. Now, just as a reminder, last week, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom was number one on the disc charts, followed by The Iron Claw and Oppenheimer. It had fallen out of the top five all the way down to number 11. And I don't think I'm going out on a limb by just speculating that DVD sales are still swimming in the high 50 to low 60% territory, with Blu-rays accounting for maybe a quarter of sales. The past few weeks didn't have any sort of launch that might push 4K disc sales a little more in the positive direction, but Dune 2 ultimately might have something to say about that. So I guess we're going to have to wait about another 4 weeks to find out. Now to streaming, where digital TV research says that streaming TV and movies is projected to top, this number is crazy, folks, $228 billion in revenue in the year 2029. That's about $64 billion more than last year. Roughly 40% of that revenue is expected to come from the good old US of A. JustWatch.com reports that last week's number one streaming film, Anatomy of a Fall, has slipped down to number four on the charts. The Zone of Interest has captured the number one spot, followed by The Greatest Hits, which started streaming on April 12th, and that's a romance drama. Are those called rom-droms, I guess? That's music fans, I think you should check that one out. It looks like it involves vinyl and some good tunes, so definitely put that one on your list. At number three, we have Poor Things, and Argyle lands at number five. Oppenheimer has slipped down to number six on JustWatch.com's movie streaming chart. And the bloodbath over on the streaming TV show charts continues. Last week's number one, A Gentleman in Moscow, has fallen to number five. Fallout has jumped to number one by jumping 29 spots. It's followed by Shogun, Ripley, and Three Body Problem. Last week, we pegged Dune Part 2's streaming debut at April 15th, which is today. It looks like I may have been a day off right now. Just about everyone is saying April 16th is the day. I should have known better. So it's looking like tomorrow will be the big launch event, which is a bit unfortunate for theaters because the movie is still earning. This past weekend, it made $4.3 million at the box office here in the United States, capping off a 45-day run of $272 million domestically, $684 million worldwide. Now, does this mean it will land on Kaleidoscape tomorrow? Well, I wish I could give you a definitive yes. I think we'll see it land on servers tomorrow, but if it doesn't, then I'm banking on the following Monday or Tuesday, which would be April 22 or 23. We did see Kung Fu Panda 4 land for sale on Kscape in 4K with lossless Dolby Atmos. Of course, that's still in theaters, and the classic thriller 3 Days of the Condor is also now available on Kscape for purchase in 4K with a DTS HDMA 5.1 soundtrack. Kscape has also unlocked sale pricing on a bunch of drama films. You're looking at $7.99 to $9.99 in terms of pricing. A few good ones that caught my eye include American Beauty, Dallas Buyers Club, and Billy Elliot. And that Billy Elliot is just a phenomenal flick, so I really recommend that one. Also, a baseball flick starring Robert De Niro caught my eye. It's called Bang the Drum Slowly. I'm actually not familiar with that one, so that one's on my buying radar. Now for disc deals of the week, and we are going all in on Tom Cruise flicks this week. All three of these films are available in 4K, and they ship with a Blu-ray copy and a digital code in the case. And I happen to think all of these are solid catalog titles. We have American Made. I really enjoyed watching that movie. That's currently $10.99. Again, that's in 4K. The Mummy is only $10.99, and a spectacular home theater flick, Oblivion, only $14.99. Now, all of those have MSRPs of about $23, so you're saving almost 50% for the lot. And here, my location here in the DC area, it looks like they can be on my doorstep if I order them today by tomorrow. Links to all of those are right down in the description. And for our featured gear deals of the week, we're looking at LG and sale pricing on two of its soundbar offerings, the 3.1 channel S56Q and the 5.1.3S90QY. Full disclosure, I've not handled or heard these myself, but I did take some time to go through user reviews on both Best Buy and Amazon, and it seems like buyers are very happy. Now, right now, the less expensive 3.1 channel version is about $150 off, landing right around $197, and the 5.1.3 version is $250 off, landing at $549, which is a big savings off its $800 MSRP. Of course, both of those include a wireless subwoofer, which is where that .1 designation comes from. You can buy those at that pricing through Amazon and Best Buy. Links are down in the show notes. So if you're looking to inject your TV with a little more audio and you want to keep things discreet, I think they are definitely worth checking out. All right, folks, that's all I've got for you on this beautiful Monday morning. Be good to each other out there, and I'll see you on the forum at avnirvana.com.